Yin to the other's gang, two sisters, both curious and strange. A likely duo and they witty from the brain. It's the magic hour, Mercedes and Jay.
Welcome, boys and babes, to our little life-giving podcast we so gratefully live our bliss through. It's the Magic Hour, a place where we navigate through life's peaks and valleys with all the vulnerability and shamelessness we can muster. With the help of world-class guests from all walks of life, we uncover new truths and valuable tools for manifesting our highest potential. I'm your host, Mercedes Terrell, along with my partner in shine, Jade Bryce.
Hey, you guys. Our special guest for you today is Alima Leigh McFarlane. You may know her as the Illuminator. Everyone that I know that knows her speaks so highly of her and just adores her. So I'm really excited to have her on our show.
Yes. And sitting cage side at her fights is always an amazing experience. I'm super stoked to be recording with her today as well. Let's get Alima Leigh on, shall we? Yeah. Without further ado, let me introduce the Bellator Women's Flyweight World Champion. She is 10-0, undefeated, y'all. Mm. She was born and raised in Hawaii and has climbed her way to the top of the fight game, not only because she's an incredibly skilled martial artist, but because of the unwavering support her family and her massive hometown fan base have given her too. P.S., she's nominated for Female Fighter of the Year. We both voted for her, just saying. Please help me welcome Alima Leigh, the Illuminator McFarlane, to the Magic Hour.
Yay.
Hi.
Is this live?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
not live, sorry.
Not live, but we are recording.
Thank you.
Hi.
So, Alima, I'm always curious with things like, even though I've been in MMA for 10 years, I'm still curious when it comes to MMA or like professional bull riding, what it is that initially drew you to the sport.
So my story is actually, we joke that I'm the accidental champ. Because I literally walked into an MMA gym, like, having no clue about anything. Mm. And I was just like, oh, I need to lose weight. You know, I'm a fat, overweight college student that just finished up my undergrad. And I have a summer off and I want to get into shape. And so, yeah, I just walked into this gym on my way to work because I used to wait tables at Coco's. And so, yeah, I stopped in, and it was the home of Liz Carmouche. So she was the one at the front desk who greeted me. And then she's like, oh, why don't you try our MMA class? It's an introductory class with Manolo Hernandez. So I did that, and it just went from there. I just kept going back every day. And so, it all kind of just happened on accident.
So you were just a natural.
Yeah. Did you know right away, like, this is my shit? Like, I need to be here.
Okay. I didn't know until, like, my fourth fight with Bellator.
Really?
I was like, okay, maybe I can do this.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was a while before I...
So you're already in the cage when you found out.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what am I doing here? It took a while for me to finally accept it that, okay, yeah, I'm guessing pretty good at this. We can do this.
Yeah. That's a real fake it till you make it strategy there, girl.
So, yeah, dude. I'm like the poster child of that. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. Is that a strategy you use in your life outside of this?
I'm the best bullshitter. No, I always said I wasn't ever the smartest kid in class, but I was really good with the professors. I was really good with, you know, all the teachers and everything. And so, yeah, I mean, I feel like I did fake it till I made it in MMA. Hmm.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about this on the show of uncovering this, you know, layers of veil or whatever you want to call it, these veils of lies that we tell ourselves for a lot of our life instead of realizing that we already are whatever it is we're, you know, trying to step into or faking it towards or whatever it is. And then, like you said, four fights in on your professional, you know, Bellator record, you suddenly go, all right, I guess that's enough proof. Yeah, I am that thing.
And that it's all just self-doubt and your own self-critic.
Yeah.
That was what I thought was what was like the fakeness about this whole situation. It was just self-doubt. And so once I was able to navigate that, then I made it.
It's like that Rumi quote, what you are seeking is seeking you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, if that desire's in you, it's already a part of who you are.
Yeah.
So, Yeah.
Absolutely. So, speaking of faking it till you make it, I know this isn't part of that, but this is a big way that you have made your way to this championship. Underwater training.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about what that all is and how it's benefited you mindset-wise, keeping you focused, keeping you from being anxious and all those things that I'm sure everybody battles with.
Oh, and that's super crazy because last night I actually had a dream that I passed out underwater.
Oh, my goodness. Because,
like, I'm, like, wrestling somebody underwater and I just, you know, just went unconscious.
Right.
Wow.
But so... going off of that, like, this underwater training, I implemented into my camp getting ready for Bellator Hawaii. And it just seemed appropriate. Like, Bellator Hawaii, I'm an island girl.
Yeah.
I grew up surrounded by water and everything. But I never really considered myself a water mammal. I was always a land mammal.
Uh-huh.
Like, I did all my sports on land. And, you know, I grew up playing basketball, volleyball, soccer, wrestling. So, yeah, even though I did grow up at the beach and everything, like, I never considered myself a water person. And then, but I decided to start training with these guys. They are called Deep End Fitness / Underwater Torpedo League, and they're actually former Special Ops Marines who were water survivalist instructors. And so when they got out of the military, then they created this program to train elite athletes. So I discovered them because one of my high school classmates, Manti Te'o, you guys may have heard of him. He was training with them in San Diego. So I saw him doing that on his Instagram. I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. So he invited me to a practice and I instantly saw all the benefits. And, you know, as I always say too, that the physical benefits are just byproducts of the mental benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, being underwater and being cut off from your air source sends people into a panic. It's one thing to hold your breath above water because, you know, you're like, oh, I can still breathe.
Right.
But when you're actually submerged and, like, completely cut off from any air source and, like, if you try to breathe, you're going to swallow water.
You have no choice, literally.
Yeah, yeah. Then that kind of sets you into a fight or flight mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so training with these guys has really taught me how to calm that fight or flight mode, learn how to use it, learn how to use it in the cage, and learn how to just not panic and freak out. So I like totally stand by these guys. I believe in what they're doing. I'm like, this is legit. And more fighters are actually getting on board with it, too. Like, even, you know, Dominic Cruz just hit me up yesterday and was like, hey, can we come to practice this week? We just had Tatiana Suarez come join us last week. Michelle Watterson wants to do it. So it's really cool to see it expanding because I think these guys, Prime, Don, Ricky, them, they all deserve, like, all the recognition. These guys are some of the most badass people I've ever met.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It gives you such an edge, for sure. I can see why.
Yeah.
And it's really smart to play that out however, in any way you can. I mean, you see people doing, you know, the, now, I guess, old school way would be the high altitude training. Which,
yeah.
You know, there's so many alternative methods that we try and find the edge in these high level athletic sports. With when we were in Hawaii for the Bellator event, we were there. All these surfers came to the event. That was really cool because they happened to be having a pipeline going on at the same time as our event. And I know that a lot of those guys, including like Kelly Slater, you know, train jiu-jitsu. And I feel like that mindset transfers over from these big wave surfers of like, how do we keep our calm and our cool in these circumstances like you're talking about? We're deep underwater. We have no choice but to figure out how to lower our heart rate so that we don't expend all of our energy before we can surface and take our next breath.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the specific example that we use when we go over like our briefing in the beginning of our sessions. One of the letters of the acronym that we use is extreme relaxation. And it's, we give the example of the surfers. Like, what happens if they wipe out and they're underwater? If they stiffen up or if they start panicking, they're going to lose all their breath.
Yeah.
But if they just go with the flow, then they're going to be able to conserve their energy, conserve whatever oxygen they have left in their tank and before they're able to resurface.
And just figuring out what, you know, what's real as far as fear goes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is this fear really something I need to expend this extra energy that I don't have a lot of, you know?
Yeah.
Or do I go, okay, you know what, this situation I know how to get out of, I'm going to use all my tools and I'm going to figure my way out.
Yeah, and just mastering, coming back to your breath, like I practice with plant medicine regularly and with ayahuasca, in the very beginning of your journey, you're often either in the cosmos or underwater. And when you're underwater, you almost feel like you're about to die. Like you are struggling to breathe and you feel like you're at the bottom of the ocean. And it's really helped my anxiety outside of practicing medicine, because I've had to learn to just come back to my breath when I feel like there's that shallow. I just have to like sit and like take the deep belly breaths. Yeah. So I bet you that's...
Is that a metaphor then, like being underwater? So for like the ayahuasca journey, is that a metaphor for like being in like deep anxiety versus like being in the cosmos, being...
You know, most people are in the cosmos and I'm almost always underwater. And I think it is because something that Mother Ayahuasca is always working with me on is my anxiety. So I think so, because sometimes I feel like I'm drowning, you know, in real life.
Hallucinogens, so you're actually feeling like you're, or seeing that you're underwater.
Yeah.
But I think what you're saying is...
Oh, I see.
Like if you think about dream state or something, usually it's very tied to what's really going on in your own subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, kind of both.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know from personal experience on ayahuasca, but from what I've heard from her, it sounds like a both on that.
Got it.
So before we got on, you were talking a little bit about the fact that you're going over to one of the Dakotas. Where are you going for Sundance ceremony? South Dakota.
Yeah.
So tell us about what that all entails, because that's a whole nother interesting alternative method there.
So every once a week back in San Diego, I actually participate in a sweat ceremony or a sweat lodge ceremony with my, I call them my sweat family, but they are actually the Siquan band of the Kumeyaay Nation out in San Diego. So, and even though this is a Lakota tradition, they were trained to put on these ceremonies.
Okay.
And so I participate in a sweat ceremony every week with them. And they also participate in the Sundance ceremony. Which,
break that down.
Yes. So to my knowledge, and I'm by no means an expert on this, so if anybody's listening and is like, that's wrong, I apologize.
We have a disclaimer thing.
So yeah, they invited me to come and watch and just be there to support their Sundance ceremony, which is going to be held in, I think it's like an hour outside of Rapid City. But it's basically it's about like a week long ceremony, but there's four main days where they are fasting, so no food or water for 4 days, and they're dancing around a tree.
I didn't know no water.
Yeah, no water.
Wow.
So we all go up on the hill and they dance from basically like sun up till sundown. And I think they're able to rest throughout the night.
Okay.
But, no food or water. And
do they do sweat lodge there, too?
I'm not sure if they do. But I do know that they also, some might pierce their skin. I think some men might pierce their skin and dance around the tree until the skin breaks. I'm not sure if any of the women do that. But I'm going to go and watch my auntie Julie do it. And so even though I don't need to actually do anything, I'm challenging myself in support of her to do the fast with them. And it's so interesting too. I always think of them whenever I'm cutting weight for my fights because it's not fun. I probably fast for like 2 days when I cut weight.
Oh, wow.
And then like I have 1 day of no water and then I'm doing the salt baths and it's pretty miserable, but I always think of them, and I'm actually always playing their songs and their chants whenever
That's
I'm in
so
the tub.
Cool.
Yeah, and then I have my sage with me and I put it in
the
water.
So it becomes like a spiritual experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so once I've been sweating with them for about 2 years, and once I started doing the sweat ceremonies with them, and once I was able to like look at weight cutting as a spiritual practice mm-hmm. rather than like, oh, this sucks. This is something I have to do for my job. Then it just changed it for me. And it's actually something that I don't necessarily look forward to, but it's something that like I know is like cleansing my body. It's cleansing my spirit.
Yeah.
And I always think of them. I was like, this is nothing. Like, imagine Auntie Julie up there for 4 days without food or water, dancing. You know, I'm just on the treadmill for half an hour. So...
But still, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely given me a completely different perspective about everything.
That's a magic trick right there, just turning some pain into something that actually, I mean, it has so much benefit for you, not only your career, okay, obviously, that you're coming up into a fight food, but just generally cell autophagy and detox and all the things that are happening for your physical body. Mm-hmm, and then, of course, your mental side of things, that's what, like you said, mental first.
And even asking, too, like, what else can I shed during this?
Yeah.
Like a metaphor.
Do you feel like that comes up a lot when you're in that let's call it the purge or the because it really
purge
is right?
You're
purging all this stuff out of your body. Yes, you're trying to get to a certain weight, but at the same time, you're dropping some stuff off. So, do you feel like, especially mentally, you have some big epiphanies or awakenings or what happens in that for you?
I for sure do, and. A lot of people are concerned about the weight cuts and everything, but I actually think it's really healthy because fasting is healthy. When done right, it's completely healthy.
You regenerate
yourself.
And
part of spiritual practices around the world
exactly.
for millennia.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that what a lot of people are missing is like that prayer component because in a lot of indigenous traditions, like, for example, plant medicine.
Yeah. You fast before.
And a lot of people are missing, like, that prayer component, which actually unlocks the full potential of these plants. So, for example, like, the cannabis. Mm-hmm. People smoke it recreationally or they might do it for healing, but a lot of indigenous beliefs think that, you're not unlocking the plant's full potential
it's
for healing.
It's a sacred plant. It's meant to be. Yeah.
By not praying or not setting your intention with it. And so I think that, by me transforming this weight cut into a spiritual practice with the prayer component, then I'm unlocking like the full or maximizing all the health benefits for my body and my mind.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And so,
I've never heard anyone
articulate it that way. That is really cool.
Yeah. And so I think that I definitely have had epiphanies. Rewinding back to my underwater training to like that, we call it eliminating the drag. Like my mentor, Prime Hall, he's the founder of this. And he, again, it's not just physical work. Like he will sit down and talk to you about like, all right, what is holding you back? What is dragging you down? Like what's creating the drag? And he'll try to help you eliminate it. And so
God, I bet that really benefits once you're in the cage.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like I've got rid of so many of my demons and like and craziness, like just in the water and in the water in the salt bath too, you know, like in the pool and in the cut. So and in the sweat ceremonies.
Yeah.
Like in this element of water just somehow like
cleansing
you has like I've tied together all of these examples.
What about figuring out how to be in the state of depletion? You know, you have no food in your body. You have barely any water in your body. Mm. You're just at the verge of death. You know, you're knocking on death's door in some aspect. I get hangry after a couple hours of not eating. Mm-hmm. So what is, like, figuring out how to be around people in those circumstances, I think there's got to be a lot of growth that happens just in that alone. Figuring out how do you live in this state of want.
Deprivation.
And deprivation.
But also, I think, too, it goes into thinking, like, remembering everything is temporary. Like, when I fast, I act like I'm never going to get pizza again for the rest of my life. You know, and I have to, like, keep telling myself, I can have it in 3 days. This is temporary. Yeah. You know? So remembering that it goes into all areas of life. Like, everything is temporary, the good and the bad, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I think the best example of that for me was actually Bellator Hawaii. Where, I'm not the nicest person to be around when I'm cutting weight. And Bellator Hawaii, though, when I was home and I landed, And, like, I have no problem telling somebody off. Like, people will send you stupid messages. It'll be, like, my biggest pet peeve is people that's like, oh, how do you watch it? Or, like, how do you get tickets? And it's like, it's called Google.
Yeah.
Just be resourceful. Just go.
Like, I'm busy. I have a fight coming up here.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
So, and those, normally those questions just annoy the crap out of me. And, like, I've gone off on several people, even at my gym, or, like, people that ask, like, how are you feeling? How's the weight cut going? I'm just like, oh. How the fuck do you think I'm feeling? So, but when I, for Bellator Hawaii, and I knew it was going to be even crazier because it's Hawaii, it's my hometown. And when I landed on the island, then I was just like, Ilima, like, everyone's just excited. You should be grateful. You should practice gratitude and patience. So, yeah, even though I was depleted, I'm just like, just practicing gratitude. Just made it so much easier. And like, I patiently responded to as many people as I could, just because I was like, they're coming to see you, they love you, you know, they want to support you. So just, again, express your gratitude and it'll be fine. And that was honestly the best fight week of my life, I think, because just practicing gratitude the whole time.
That was such an amazing event, start to finish, really.
What would you say is the toughest spot that you've been in mentally? And it doesn't, it can or cannot be related to MMA.
The toughest spot I've been in mentally was definitely, like, in between fights, actually. Actually, you know what? It was probably after I won the belt. And so that was in November of, like, 2017. And I had just won the belt. You'd think I'd be, like, at the top of the world. Like, this is the best day ever. But, well, I think a lot of it had to do, too, with my personal life. Like, my boyfriend at the time just, like, ghosted. Like, completely blocked me on everything. Like, it was crazy. I think it had to do because my brother tried beating him up in my fight, but whatever. So, but yeah, completely ghosted me when we came back home. And it was like really, really difficult for me because, yeah, I'm one of those, like, when I'm in a relationship, like, I'm in it. And then, you know, I wanted to share all of this success and happiness with someone else, but, like, I was alone. And so that was super. And then on top of that, like, I felt as if I had reached the pinnacle of my career. Everything that I set out to do, I accomplished winning that belt. And so I'm just like, okay, now what? And a lot of people consider it the post-fight blues, where, like, you're so focused and disciplined for these months leading up to your fight that once it's over, then you're just like,
what now?
What now? Yeah. And so, yeah, I felt, like, really aimless after that. And I just, like, didn't know what to do. I kind of went into this weird depression. So I think that was the toughest mentally. But it was after that moment then I started reconnecting to my spiritual side. So it was actually after that fight that I started going to the sweat lodge. And I started, doing all these things. I actually started going to therapy, too, the year after that. But I think the biggest reason why I was able to come out of that was definitely connecting to a higher power and to my spirituality.
So would your biggest takeaway be just that you're not alone, basically, or?
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, even though you might not have romantic love, you have all this other love from, like, so many other people. And so
much support. I mean, seriously, when you walk in the cage, you have a huge support system. Yeah. And I'm sure outside of the cage, it's got to be just as strong.
Yeah. I work for another fight league, and people were dashing out to go catch your fight.
They're awesome. I love Invicta. But, I just, once I realized that, then I was like, I'm a badass bitch. Like, if he doesn't want to be with me, then whatever. So, like, I have all these other people that love me. So,
yeah.
It's so interesting how some of our most important realizations in life that cause us to grow so much come from the dark places, you know?
Oh, totally.
That's really, I think, all the, they all come from that, I want to say. But I'm sure beauty like having a baby or something, mm-hmm. some miraculous thing happening. Also, you grow immensely from. I just haven't experienced that. So.
Yeah. And I always say, too, I kind of always joke about it because I'm like, you know, my life is so good in every other arena. Like,
yeah.
my career is going great. You know, all my family and friends and people I love are healthy. Like, everything's going amazing. So the balance is that my romantic life is just like,
yeah, it's not shit. Even the balance. I think it's that your focus goes to that because everything else is already taken care of.
Yeah.
It's actually something when I met Chris and I knew like right away, pretty much right away, within the first 2 days of meeting him, which we talk about on a different episode, that this was the one, like that whole search was over or whatever. I thought this Disney, you know, storybook love story or whatever mm-hmm. I was looking for in my life. And when I knew that chapter of my life was closed as far as seeking out this person that's going to be part of my, you know, becoming a whole mm-hmm. person or whatever I thought at the time. Once that happened, I literally had what I call an awakening now, but I used to call a mental breakdown.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I had, you know, a crisis. Literally, I started having panic and anxiety for no apparent reason at all, constantly. Got, you know, went to a therapist and started all these alternative therapies and every kind of thing you can think of, went to every doctor you could think of, seeking something outside of me to heal whatever was going on. But the reality was I just suddenly had no longer the need to search this, you know, or seek this thing that was taking up most of my brain space in life, you know, this other person I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And now I had to focus on the shit that was really needing to be looked at inside mm-hmm. of
yeah.
me. So, yeah, it is interesting,
yeah.
I guess.
Whereas,
good things do bring up this shit, I'm coming
yeah.
to realize in this conversation.
Whereas I also feel like the times that my romantic life has had the biggest void has been the times that I've grown the most. I'm now going on 7 months of, I guess I can still say the word celibate.
Oh, I'm my like, gosh, me too.
You are?
Yeah, this is the longest.
7 months?
Yeah, this
wow.
is the longest.
I have a feeling it's going to go 9 and then, like, something's going to... I don't know why the number
are you,
9.
But, like, what did you choose celibate-wise?
Huh?
Like, you I remember you made a dedication.
Oh, what my goal was?
Yeah, you had...
Originally, I said 3 months.
Right.
And then I did a ceremony and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to do 6.
Okay.
I went 6 and then I was like, okay, I'm available, world.
Here we are, 7 months.
And it just, I had only spent alone time with one guy and it just didn't feel natural.
Mm-hmm.
I felt almost like, who do I want to give my energy to, mm-hmm. though?
Oh, 100%.
Because now I feel a little bit more protective of my energy. And being 35, a single mother of 2 toddlers, I just kind of feel a little bit more different than when I was in my 20s and like, mm-hmm. here I am. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So now, yeah, it's going on 7. And but I can honestly say in these 7 months, I have felt more womanlike than ever.
What does that mean?
More feminine. Like I think because I've gotten to, I already knew my body, but I've had to, not during the celibacy period, but after that ended, I've learned to meet my own desires in a very like feminine way without needing the masculine, but also cultivating the masculine within me because I don't have it coming in from the outside. And so I feel a stronger backbone as well and a stronger sense of being able to set boundaries. And so it's been a really amazing growth tool.
Yeah.
And also, I've realized how sensual I actually am because my last relationship being so tumultuous, I thought my sex drive was gone.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
but it
point.
Wasn't. It's because I was in fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
And now that that's been taken out, now I have all these urges as well because it's been so long that I'm like, oh, I am at
a sexual being.
Yeah. So it's been actually really nice.
How about you? Have you learned?
Oh my gosh.
I've like
yeah,
everything
you
say just now, I'm just like, yes.
Ditto.
Yes.
Ditto.
Like this is the longest that I've gone celibate, and it's so nice too because I recently went to Planned Parenthood to get my birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I love Planned Parenthood.
Yeah,
like,
shout
I'm
out.
I'm so pro Planned Parenthood.
Shout out. Not sure about synthetic hormones, but that's a whole nother situation.
I know, I'm sorry, but I do like to get the
no,
but
we
love
but
I'm so
shot.
Glad Planned Parenthood
but we are
is there.
Supportive
yes.
of you.
Yeah. And so I just went recently, and so they're doing their usual, you know, background check. They're like, have you been using protection,
right.
Condoms, blah, blah. I'm like,
abstinence. So I'm just like, I've never been able to say that before. Yeah. So it's really cool. But yeah, at first it started, the celibacy journey didn't start off like intentionally. I wasn't like, I'm going to be celibate. It was like, my last relationship ended in January, and yeah, and I guess I did kind of make a little like, I have these weird hairs. I have an undershave, right, on my the back of my head, and there's these small baby hairs that I'm trying to grow out. And so I told myself, all right, when it grows out long enough to be able to put into a ponytail, then that's when you can date.
Oh.
And then, so recently I actually like just started dating. I made like a Hinge profile.
That's what I made.
Yeah.
You can find these girls on Hinge, whatever that is.
Literally with it like a month ago, I was like, okay, I think I'm ready.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And it's the same exact, it's exactly what you said, like, these guys I just don't really vibe with. And normally, like, I, you know, when I was in my early 20s, I would probably mm-hmm. been like, okay, I'm whatever's. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now I'm much more selective of who I share my energy with. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've had so much clarity in these past months, like finally getting over that carnal desire.
Mm-hmm.
I've just had so much clarity. And yeah. like, yeah, it's funny. There's one of my, I consider him my good friend now, but I guess before he was like a dating prospect. But like, I took him home with me, and we like slept in the same bed the entire time, did not even touch each other. Everybody's like, is he gay? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I think this is just what self-respect feels like.
And this you're probably also, because of where you've been these last couple months, you're putting out also maybe a different, a little bit different boundary.
Yeah. And like, and I'm like, you know, there's actually some guys out there who don't actually want to sleep with you right off the bat. They actually want
to
get to know you.
Does that exist?
And so it's been really nice. And actually, when you were saying about how you're trying to like balance your masculine and feminine energies, mm-hmm. that totally hit home, because I actually just had my last therapy session on Friday. And so she's actually a hypnotherapist, mm-hmm. and she has apprenticed under shamanic healers as well. Mm. So she, you know, she has that like very spiritual yeah. side of her. And so when I updated her on everything, I initially started seeing her because of my past relationship. It was supposed to be couples counseling, and it ended up being like me by myself.
Yeah.
But I kept going to her even though the relationship had ended, because I'm like, no, I need to heal myself.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it was our last session on Friday, and I had so much to update her on, because I didn't see her since before my last fight.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I told her about my fight. I told her about, you know, the new guy I was kind of seeing that doesn't touch me, but it's okay. I was like, I don't know what else to tell you, because everything is amazing right now. So she's like, okay. I was like, is there like a closing ceremony or like a goodbye ceremony to send me off? So she's like, we're going to do some sand play. So she pulls out this, you know, this tub full of sand. Huh. And, you know, she puts me under a light hypnosis and was like, okay, you're going to go and collect objects to take you forward in your journey. Like whatever your higher self is calling to. So she has these shelves with all these, anything you can think of, like all these dolls. There's like creepy clowns in it and just, you know, all these figurines. So I grabbed several objects, but something was telling me, like, you need to take with you some type of phallic object. I just kept telling myself, like, it needs to be something phallic. So she also has all these crystals everywhere. And I saw one, and I was like, that's the one. And I grabbed it. And so I put that in the middle of the sand surrounded by other objects. So I told her the story of everything. And she's like, okay, now what about that object? I was like, you know, just, I feel as if something, I needed like a masculine object kind of to tell me that it's okay to be taken care of. Mm. Like, I'm so strong, or I'm so like nurturing, where I want to take care of somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's my problem, is that like I need to learn how to be taken
care of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And to just like balance my masculine and feminine energies. Mm. Like I feel like I'm very masculine. Like all my objects were very like masculine.
Yeah.
And and so I was like, I just kind of need to learn how to balance that feminine side, because that's when I'm going to find true inner peace. And maybe once I find that, then that's when, you know, I might find my life partner. I don't know. And so she's like, do you know what that is? I was like, nope. She's like, so that is literally a stone for balancing masculine and feminine energies.
Wow.
Like, what? And she like pulled up the description and I'm just like, all right, this is perfect. Like,
yeah, I'm in alignment. Yes.
Yeah. Like, this is amazing.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So it's on my, I it's on my bedside table and like every morning I kind of just play with it. And,
yeah.
Like, balance.
And so. Remember. Yeah. I don't know why it brings to mind when you were speaking about marijuana. You were speaking about plant medicine being something that in
the
tribes will want to do ceremony around it and make it a ritualistic thing, not just I'm going to smoke some weed just to smoke some weed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were talking about that, I thought about even food. You know, if we take the time to say, you know, people say prayers, obviously, over food.
But pray and speak into the food.
But speak in your intention of how you want this food to nourish your body or like you're holding your rock. You know, something that's a reminder and something you set time aside to play with this rock or, you know, just to look at it and think about the fact that you are making an intention to step into a more balanced state.
Mm-hmm.
That's right there. Just that. Mindfulness is really, that's really all we need to do. Like literally in every second of our lives, we can figure out how do we be more mindful in this moment. I think we begin the healing every time we do that.
Yes.
You don't even have to really actually do anything. You're just setting an intention. And in doing that, you're already stepping into this vibration, you know, this energy space that you want to be. And then you become it. It's like simple science, but it's not simple somehow.
Yeah.
We confuse ourselves.
So normally we do a magic trick after the show, like as we close it off, but I'm going to do mine now with you guys, and then Mercedes will
this
have her
so impromptu.
After. So so my shaman, we did a ceremony, all women ceremony, but my intention was to step into my masculine side as a single mother to be able to provide both roles to my children. And so, you know, your right side represents your masculine side. And your left side represents your feminine side. So on the medicine, on Huachuma, we raised both hands. And we, like, thanked our masculine side, set an intention, and wrapped it around our feminine side. So, like, we were our masculine was holding our feminine. And then our feminine, we did the same. We spoke a prayer and an intention into our feminine side and then put the hand over our masculine side, like, caressed it. And so it's like a way of intentionally like balancing that within and like allowing your masculine to embrace your feminine and your feminine to caress your masculine and like let them work together. But when I, of course, on the medicine, it was extremely powerful. And I was like, I am all I need. I was sitting there like this in the middle of a labyrinth.
That's so awesome.
But I still do that. Like whenever I'm feeling lack on either side, or feeling like I need a balance, I take my right and I embrace my feminine. I take my feminine hand and I caress my masculine. And it, there's something when you do it like with the intention and with the mindset of like wanting to be whole, it really inside you feel a balancing. So,
and even just crossing that median line in you, does I like I was taught, that whenever I was triggered about something, like I needed to, you need to cross the median because that helps like balance out your left and right brain and whatever is like triggering it. So like I would like even just doing this would help calm, kind of like disperse the anxiety or whatever was going on. So I feel like that also kind of has
the embrace has the same,
some type of healing.
Definitely crossing over. Or I mean, you're asking yourself to do exactly that. I like that trick. That was good. So we ask everyone who comes on the show a few questions, and so first off, if you could give your younger self a hug, what would you say? Can be whatever younger self needed the hug
like
most.
Which younger self?
I
would actually probably give like my early 20s in college a hug. Because I think I had, that was when I had the lowest self-esteem about myself. And I was not selective about who I shared my energy with. And so that's also, like, that's always been something that has kind of, like, if I, ooh, I'm just like, oh gosh, like, if I could change something, like, you know, just give myself more self-esteem, mm-hmm. And tell myself that, like, this is temporary. So yeah, I would just say that like, you're beautiful and you're not always going to feel like this about yourself. Yeah. You're going to love yourself one day.
And isn't it interesting though, if you would have done that, let's say you would have come to yourself and that would have made an impact on your, let's say, 25-year-old self or whatever. It might have changed your trajectory to step into an MMA gym to lose weight and then become, yeah. you know, what yeah. you've become and it's gone through the things you've become.
Yeah. And even like, you know, with that toxic relationship I was in, I used to feel like, I wish I never met him. Yeah. If I could have changed something, it was literally
so that
I would not. Exactly. Like, I have learned the most, I yeah. think, from all of those.
Just times. Realizing.
What not to accept. And,
yeah. yeah. And so I'm like, no, I'm actually very grateful for
yeah.
having my heart broken all those times. Because, yeah. yeah, I feel like it really
One of
did
my
teach
mantras
me.
Is, thank you, asshole, for helping me grow.
And I'd say life is happening for you and not to yes. you. And that's the yeah. same mm-hmm. idea of all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel your feels on that, both of you.
If you could have the whole world read one book, which would it be?
Gosh. I think it, just because this has been on my mind lately, The Obstacle is the Way. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sheridan?
I don't know, but I can...
Sheridan,
we'll make sure it's in the notes.
Yeah,
I mean, just because we're talking about yeah. adversity and how you can grow from all of these situations.
Book.
Yeah, so, like, The Obstacle is the Way teaches you to, like, just what the title is saying, like, the obstacle is not an obstacle, it's actually... it's an opportunity
to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seek the pain for positive gain.
Yeah.
What we like to say on here. If you could whisper one phrase to everyone in the world, what would it be?
Oh, that's hard.
I know.
I could whisper one phrase to everybody.
It can be one word if you want it, but.
I said, love is my religion.
And it's my like internet domain name at home.
Okay. Yes. I'm sure. I feel like I could find much deeper answers to all
I
of these,
that.
But I'm kind
no,
of just
that's great answers.
I mean, love.
I love that.
Yeah, it just makes sense. Mm. Yeah. Be love or mm-hmm. I love you or any yeah. of things mm-hmm. that make you feel like love is the answer.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Well, Alima, before we let you go, where can everybody find you on the internet? And is there anyone that you want to thank?
Yeah. So all my social media handles is at Eliminator. So Ilimanator. Thank you to all my spiritual mentors for bringing me there. I'm going to be honest. I actually didn't know what this podcast was about. I thought it was going to be like, you guys were asking me MMA questions.
Uh-huh.
So I was super stoked when you guys started talking about plant medicine. And like, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Yeah. I have my medicine bag on me right now.
Aww.
So yeah, this is awesome. So I was just guided here by a higher
for
power.
Sure. Yeah.
And we should totally do some plant medicine ceremonies.
Yeah. We like to give the MMA fans a different taste of yeah. their favorite fighters. So mm-hmm.
yeah, we're the ring girls. We're not like analysts, you know, we're not trying to be experts in yeah. the sport, but we happen to be around you guys, these amazing athletes that use alternative therapies and mm-hmm. medicines and, you know, ways of going about becoming the most amazing athletes
yeah.
They are. So
which mm-hmm. you're a great yeah. example of. So thank you for coming on the
Thanks
show.
For having me.
Thank
yes,
you.
This is
awesome. You're amazing. Stop. Oh. We had such a great recording with Ilima. You guys just experienced it. And here we are. It's been actually a couple months since we recorded that, since yeah. as we announced early in that episode, we recorded it at the MMA Awards in Vegas. I think it was in March. Mm-hmm. And so a lot has happened since then.
It was July 4th.
Oh yeah, why is it why
oh my god, March was
oh,
so
oh because March
ago.
Was our event yeah. Our live event.
It's okay, the year has just turned into one big podcast
episode. Look, we're doing our best, all right.
And
y'all know what it's like.
Anywho,
Anywho.
Yeah.
A lot's happened since July as well, Jade. As you can tell, we're recording this little end cap on this episode late in the evening because Jade's delirium laugh is already kicking in.
Oh. So we recorded that in July and now we are here at home in late September.
About to air this episode.
Yeah, and we're just going to do our magic tricks for you guys. But something that was really cool is that a couple weeks after we recorded with Alima, she actually did come to Austin and we did a plant medicine ceremony. So we did it. We did it, you guys.
We did it. I didn't do it. You guys did it.
Yeah. Mercedes wanted me to bring cameras, but...
Imagine, you guys. Can you?
But...
I like how I talk to the audience like they're in the room with me.
Let's just say that they are. But
in a way.
But yeah, it was really cool. It was cool that like just a couple weeks after that she actually followed up and had an incredible experience. Maybe we can have her on the show in the future and we can talk about that. But for now, since I already did my magic trick impromptu, what is yours, Mercedes?
Yes. And I loved your impromptu magic trick this episode. I'm really going to try and do that. It feels like I'm fondling myself when I do it to myself right
Maybe
now,
that's
but
what you
in
need.
Context. Maybe that's what I need. You're right. That's probably the feminine side, huh? All right. So my magic trick today comes from Glennon Doyle's book, Love Warrior. Yes, you love Glennon Doyle.
I
know she's on our dream guest. Mm-hmm. Maybe she'll hear this and she'll just say, I have to get on the magic hour. What have I been thinking all this time? Okay, so from her book, this is the excerpt that I wrote down. It says, we think that our job as humans is to avoid pain. Our job as parents is to protect our children from pain. And our job as friends is to fix each other's pain. Maybe that's why we all feel like failures so often. Because we all have the wrong job description of love. People who are hurting don't need avoiders, protectors, or fixers. What we need are patient, loving witnesses. People who sit quietly and hold space for us. People to stand in the helpless vigil. How do I say that word? Vigil.
Helpless vigil?
Yeah. Vigil? Mm-hmm. People to stand in the helpless vigil to our pain. And she also says, pain is often the receipt of love. It's proof that we paid the price. It's holy, perfect, exactly right. So let's quit grabbing away each other's pain and instead just say, I see your pain. And thank you for trusting me to share it with me. I'll sit with you in it. So I just thought, especially right now, that's something that really resonated with me because I feel like of late I'm in this, like, I'm noticing and that I have been in this magician archetype where I basically am trying to fix people or, you know, I'm a constant fixer and I'm really in my logic, like analyzing side of my brain. Mm-hmm. That's always just trying to almost mathematically put together.
It's hard though, because I don't see that as a fault in you. That's something that I really find in a value in you, because I know sometimes it's like a tough love. Like, I remember one time I was insecure about something and I was like, well, I guess he met somebody. And you were like, please tell me why you think he met somebody. Like, I was like, oh God, okay, forget it. You're right. So I appreciate that. And I think that I, with my partners, tend to be magician because I'm, you know, and with my kids, because we see their potential and we want to raise them to it. But with my friends, sometimes I feel like I don't have enough of what you offer. And so I get so in my head of like, well, how can I help them the most? How can I help them the most? So I understand what you're saying, but I also think that it's very valuable.
I appreciate that because I mean, it's something I'm self-conscious about at some times. Like, I also appreciate it in myself, you know, not to sound as humble, but of course, being able to fix your own problems, that's how it came about in me, is like, okay, I got to be independent. I got to fix this thing. I got to figure it out for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I use logic to do that. But I find that that idea, that like magician archetype, the fixer can become an imbalance where mm-hmm. you're suddenly not able to even be soft for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not able to be the like safe space yeah. that your friends come to. And instead they may go seek other, you know, counsel with people who are going to just hold them for a while instead of be so rigid.
So I guess what I think, because I think that too about the safe space, but I have the thing about how you do it. It's always made me feel like, man, Mercedes really fucking cares. And I've also never mm-hmm. come to you and you not been there. And so that's how I see it as a safe space. But if you know your heart and you know what you're feeling, if you felt like you were trying to fix somebody instead of actually help them, then that would be magician, I think. And I think I've always felt like you were trying to help me and not fix me.
Yeah, I certainly come from the conscious mindset. I'm trying to help somebody the mm-hmm. way I would think I would want to be helped, because obviously that's...
But I think sometimes with our kids and our family members mm-hmm. and our lovers, we can be trying to fix instead, so...
Or we see their potential instead of their actuality in the moment. Mm-hmm. The actuality is they need to be held right now. Mm. And later, they'll come around to, like, asking for help.
Because especially when it's your partner, the person that you're, yeah. like, the most vulnerable to, if you're pouring out your heart to them and they, instead of empathizing with you, the first thing they say is, have you thought about it this way? Or, mm-hmm. well, do you think she could have meant this? And they're playing devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than that. You know, because that's
especially when you're just not emotionally sober, yeah. because those are questions for an emotionally sober person. So it's just unfair yeah. in a sense, you mm-hmm. know, to be always about the logic. And the other thing that I've been noticing, because this is something, like I said, I'm trying to fix in myself. I'm just trying to gain more balance is really the right term.
We're definitely magicians on ourselves, you and I.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. We're definitely in that archetype. What I was going to say is that I've noticed that it also is exhausting, you know, and I can tell even the people that I'm counseling, you know, when I'm doing that, that they feel like, you know what, I'm probably draining a lot of your energy by you, because I put a lot of energy into like, okay, here's how I would go about this. Okay, what have you thought about this way? You know, and all these angles. And it is draining. And I it's also invigorating for me. Like, it's literally what I live for, yeah. in a sense. But at the end of it, you can be like, okay, all I'm doing is giving, mm-hmm. and I'm not just setting mm-hmm. back and allowing life to happen and stop thinking mm-hmm. all the time, you know?
I will say that because I do know that when I go to you and Paige, that you guys are really going to, like, give your all to it and put a lot of energy into it. Sometimes I'm mm-hmm. like, I got to pick and choose my battles. Is this a big enough deal to take to them? Because they're going to really, like... So there's some days where I'm, like, feel like I'm really struggling with something, and I'm like, uh-huh. it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah. Because then you're going to have to do the energy of like, okay, now I have to apply whatever is being asked of me here.
Yeah.
And for listeners, Paige, the reference there is Paige Beersdorfer, who we actually had on mm-hmm. In one of our earlier episodes. If you want to learn anything yeah. more about her, she's one of our special friends yeah. of the show. All right. So, fam, before we sign off, we want to remind you of the little giveaway that we've got going on for our Magic Mob. Basically, all you have to do is leave us a rating and review on your podcast app right now. You can do it as you're listening. And once you've written your review, just snapshot it and post it to your IG, your Instagram. Tag our Instagram, which is at The Magic Hour, if you're not already following. And remember, that's spelled M-A-J-I-C for magic. By the way, guys, that's for spelled that way for Mercedes and Jade. Every time I tell people, it's, yeah, M-A-J-I-C, Mercedes and Jade, they're like, oh, I thought it's so easy to figure out, but apparently
too.
It's not. So, yeah, if you tag us there, we will see that snapshot.
And when we first came up with it, we were like, that's gold.
I know. Hey, it worked. Here we are, man.
All right, Magic Mubbers. Magic Mubbers.
Wait, I didn't tell them the prize, Jade. So look, guys, take a snapshot of the review you write for the podcast on your podcast app. Do it now. Once you post that snapshot on your Instagram, tag The Magic Hour. We'll take a look at it. And if we choose you, which we very likely do, we're going to be picking a couple winners each month to get a $100 Amazon gift card. So want to get you guys paid.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and taking this journey with us, y'all. If this episode held some magic for you, please share it with your friends and family. This would mean so much to us. And don't forget to join us on our Instagram page at The Magic Hour and let us know what your favorite episodes have been so far. We appreciate all your feedback and we really want to know what's lighting you up.
Yes. And we release a new episode every Monday, so you guys can catch us again next week, of course, or go listen to some of our past episodes in our podcast library, like I was mentioning Paige or many, many others that are in there. We will meet you there. Until then, be a light.
Big thank you to @RaytoneRoyal for our intro jam and to John Aaron Garza from Real In Motion Productions for producing the show. Stay magical, friends.
Quick disclaimer. We are not medical professionals, so following any of our protocols or advice should be done at your own risk, people. And please remember to always, always do your own research. Tap into that extraordinary growth mindset we all have access to within ourselves and seek out your own answers. Come on, guys, you know the deal. And by the way, if you are a medical professional or an expert in any topic we cover and you feel we are not giving accurate information about it, please find somewhere to contact us. Contact us via social or email us at our website and let us know. A major goal of ours in doing this podcast is to bring value to people's lives by sharing helpful insights and info. So we welcome being corrected at any time and we'll be happy to share any of our fuck-ups with our listeners so as to get us all back on track to discovering our happiest, healthiest selves.